The Spotlight podcast is sponsored by Synopsys. Synopsys is the Silicon to software partner for innovative companies developing the electronic products and software applications we rely on every day. Whether you're a system-on-chip designer creating advanced semiconductors or a software developer writing applications that require the highest security and quality, Synopsys has the solutions needed to deliver innovative, high-quality, secure products. Check them out at synopsys.com. Hello, and welcome to a Spotlight edition of the Security Ledger podcast. I'm Paul Roberts, editor-in-chief at the Security Ledger. The security of medical devices figured prominently at last week's Black Hat, B-Sides, and DEF CON hacking conferences in Las Vegas. In one of the more newsworthy demonstrations, researchers Billy Rios and Jonathan Butts demonstrated how to remotely exploit an implantable pacemaker, showing how malicious software could be used to take control of the device, denying care, or even executing shocks to a patient. While the vendor in question addressed the issues Rios and Butts discovered, the whole process was what Rios described as an 18-month roller coaster of unresponsiveness, technical inefficiencies, and misleading reactions. Why is it that sophisticated multinational firms that make medical devices have such a hard time addressing cyber risk? How can a company savvy enough to make an electronic device that lives within the human body still fail to protect that device from trivial electronic attacks? Our guest this week knows better than anyone the answer to those questions. Dan Lyon is a principal consultant with Synopsys and a seasoned medical device engineer who spent more than 18 years working at medical device maker Medtronic. One of the fundamental problems, Dan tells me, is that medical device makers often focus on a single technology fix for cybersecurity in their products, when instead they need to take a much more holistic approach to securing connected health devices. To start off our conversation, I asked Dan to talk about the work he does with Synopsys and about his own background working in the medical device field.
My name is Dan Lyon. I'm a principal consultant with Synopsys. I work with a variety of manufacturers of devices, so Internet of Things, and my specialty is actually medical devices. So I work with a lot of medical device manufacturers around building security into their devices, helping them understand what that means, helping them drive organizational change in their business unit, as well as building security into the actual thing itself.
So you came to Synopsys through Cigital when they bought Cigital?
Yes, I did.
And before that, you were at Medtronic?
Correct.
Major medical device.
Yep. I was there for almost 18 years, did a variety of engineering related jobs and wove security into my responsibilities for the last 5 to 7 years that I was there. So kind of a long on-ramp to doing it full time.
So you've been in the field for a long time, and I guess probably before cybersecurity was really much of an issue or concern in the medical device space.
Yes, absolutely.
Not on the feature list, I guess.
Right. Yeah, it was just something a few people were thinking about. It did not have the, you know, widespread recognition that it does today.
So when you were on the manufacturer side, and now you're sort of on working at a consultancy more or less that works with manufacturers, like, what's the difference being on the other side of the table, so to speak?
Yeah, the difference is that as a manufacturer, security is just one of the many things you need to balance. And that's where things get really hard, because you've got usability concerns, you've got performance concerns, performance constraints, you've got maintenance that you've got to do.
Price,
cost measures, yes, exactly. So you have all these tensions that you're trying to balance to put out a product that is going to enable somebody to deliver patient care. And then you have to bring in this other perspective where you want to make sure that anybody attacking your system is unsuccessful rather than making somebody successful. As a consultant, I get to come in and I'm focused on security and kind of best practices and bringing that perspective and knowledge to help somebody make better decisions.
And we should probably talk also about, what does Synopsys do? How does Synopsys work with like a medical device maker?
Yeah, Synopsys works along the full development life cycle. So anything that would be done to build a product, Synopsys has services or offerings or products that can help identify and reduce security risk. In addition to that, we do organizational things like BSIM, where we help organizations decide where to prioritize and put their resources to get the most bang for their buck in building security. One of the fundamental problems that we see a lot of times is when organizations are starting to bring security in, they're focused on a technology or encryption or some specific thing that is just a small piece of what you actually need to build security in. And they want to know, oh, what's my solution here? And they get very solution focused, looking at technologies, when in fact they should be taking a step back, looking at the risk management, taking a page from their safety risk management playbook, and doing the exact same things with some slightly different inputs and a different perspective, like you say, somebody trying to attack something with malicious intent rather than somebody trying to be successful in delivering patient care.
What are the kinds of issues that you typically or commonly encounter when you're working with medical connected medical device makers?
There's a few common ones that we've seen at several different organizations that we work with. And they span the range from very technical to kind of organizational culture. So we'll start at the organizational culture. One of the first ones is understanding security risk. And that's really different for these organizations. So these organizations tend to approach risk from a hardware manufacturer perspective, because that's what they do. They build hardware devices with some software on top to do a certain task.
So we don't want the device to fail.
Yes. Right. So they come at it from a hardware failure mode perspective, which we've gotten pretty good at understanding hardware failure modes. You can get to some very good, you know, quantitative based methods for identifying what your risk is of failure in certain situations. And so when folks approach security from that angle, they're looking for a very quantitative method for security risk. Well, show me the numbers that tell me where I'm good and where I'm bad, and show me where I'm 99.99% likely to be successful.
Right.
And that's a hard shift to move away from that to the realm of security, which is much more qualitative in nature than a hardware failure rate. So that's one of the big culture shifts that needs to happen to understand and be able to prioritize security risk. So that's pretty common. On the other side of the fence is kind of the engineers actually working on these things, and their perspective on somebody reverse engineering or figuring out their super special system. You know, they often think, well, nobody would do that. Who would want to do that? Well, there's a lot of people that might want to do that.
Right.
So getting them to understand that, and then understanding that there's some really smart people out there, that this is their job, this is their hobby, and they put a lot of time into this.
Yeah.
And they're very smart and very skilled, and they will figure things out given enough time and motivation.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, often I think they have a cybercrime frame for understanding like hacking risks. So they're thinking of it in terms of like, well, why would somebody even want data from a pacemaker or something like that? How is that data even valuable or useful? It's not a credit card number, you know, it's not a social security number or something you could sell. So they don't understand, first of all, that, you know, the person might not be interested in that at all.
Right.
They just want to crack the device, they just want to hack the device. And second of all, like you said, right, like, okay, you have, you know, tens of millions of patients who are using this, but you only need one of them to be, you know, sort of the Billy Rios, you know,
right,
in order to have a security problem.
Yes.
So even
just
though
takes one to
it
find
just takes one
small thing.
That's right. That's right. So they don't, they kind of, you know, once they have the device, then they can do whatever they want with it, right? They're in possession of it. And so you need to sort of think in those terms.
You know? Right. Yeah. And, you know, you need to design at multiple levels. I think that's another common issue we see is, you might see the hardware engineers or the firmware engineers pointing to the software people saying, oh, software engineering, that's, you know, they've got security, it's their problem. And you might see the systems engineers saying, oh, the security is really in the firmware engineers' court because they're writing the code, when in fact it needs to be shared amongst all of the teams because security is really a systems problem, and you know, emergent behavior of the system as it's being put together. So everybody needs to be involved.
So that kind of comes back to the culture issue once again.
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Understanding that everyone needs to have this on their radar.
Yes.
And they need to have it on their radar at different levels. So, you know, a system engineer isn't going to do the exact same things that a firmware or hardware engineer is going to do, but it's all going to roll up to some security risk that the company as a whole cares about. But an individual function, if they're pointing to somebody else to solve their problem, that's a recipe for failure.
So how do you coach companies that way? Is it, I mean, it's obviously not as simple as like, well, we just need to hire the hacker guy to be on our team and then we will have, you know, addressed all these issues, or that person will address these issues for us.
It's yeah.
more of a, you guys need to be talking to each other more.
Right. And that's one of our big messages when we work with clients is you're all a team and everybody has a role to play. And we try as much as we can to bring it back to safety. Because in the medical device cultures, safety is number one. And these organizations are really good at managing safety risk mm-hmm. as a general rule. And so if they can get it in their head that, oh, if we do something to reduce, you know, a safety event or a hazard, that same process or that same mindset or methodology should be used to reduce a security risk
right.
as well. So we try to bring it back to what they know
mm-hmm.
And add just a little bit of the security mindset.
You're listening to a Spotlight podcast sponsored by Synopsys. Synopsys is the silicon to software partner for innovative companies developing the electronic products and software applications we rely on every day. Whether you're a system-on-chip designer creating advanced semiconductors or a software developer writing applications that require the highest security and quality, Synopsys has the solutions needed to deliver innovative, high-quality, secure products. Check them out at synopsys.com.
I mean, the medical device field, the healthcare field, I guess, is really interesting for a couple of reasons. One is, you know, it's a very aggressive adopter of, let's say, Internet of Things or connected technologies, right? So it's also really interesting because it's an industry where you actually have, at least in this country, in the U.S., there's a fairly strong kind of gatekeeper role played by the FDA, the Food and Drug Administration, that has, you know, regulatory authority to sort of enforce its will on companies that are selling medical devices to consumers or to hospitals and so on, which is obviously not the case in most other industries. You know, you don't really have that
yeah.
consumer products gatekeeper necessarily.
Right.
How has that played out in the security realm, both aggressive adoption of, you know, kind of connected technologies, internet connected features, networked, you know, products and product ecosystems, and then also this kind of federal gatekeeper in the form of the FDA, who is very interested in public safety, reliability, security, privacy, and those things.
Yeah, so the FDA has come at the security problem in the same way they come at the safety problem, which is you need to be doing security risk management, and you need to show evidence of that. You need to show that you have reduced the risk to an acceptable measure,
mm-hmm.
Which is all of the same things that they say for a hazard analysis or safety risk management.
Mm-hmm.
So there's really very little that's different from that perspective in how they approach the problem.
Is that a good thing?
And I think that's absolutely a good thing,
okay.
because the ultimate risk to a patient is really what should be driving the decisions. And every system is different, every technology is different, every manufacturer is going to have some different considerations. And so for the FDA to come out with some hard and fast rule, it would just be, it would be ineffective, because people would meet that rule and do no more.
Mm-hmm.
But coming at it from a risk management perspective, it's really bringing the organizations to the concept that they have to think about this
mm-hmm.
and they have to actually decide where they think is good enough for their product to be on the market where it's safe and effective, as well as secure.
So, I mean, there's been some interesting developments on this front. One is the FDA has recognized a couple standards from Underwriters Laboratory, 2900-1, and now, which is kind of a general software security and software security testing standard. And then this more recent UL 2900-2-1, which is specifically for medical devices, connected medical devices. And they've recognized that as well. What does that mean to have them kind of recognize these UL Underwriters Lab standards?
Yeah, so for them to recognize that, it really points manufacturers in that direction. So if manufacturers are struggling with, oh, how do we do this abstract security risk management? The UL standards bring some clarity to that for the manufacturers. And they list out some good content, good information for manufacturers to follow so that they can bring security risk management into their life cycle. There's some specific techniques or technology-focused testing that the standards call out, which is new for medical device manufacturers in general. But there's also things such as if you can't meet this, then you need to show why it's acceptable that you can't meet this. So they have the risk management element in there, which is the fundamental piece that has to be there, because that's what's going to enable organizations to take a risk-based approach to solving these problems.
This matters because, on the one hand, FDA can't compel companies to use the Underwriters Lab standards. On the other hand, my guess is medical device makers are looking for whatever guidance from FDA they can get to define the path towards what they want, which is the pre-market certification.
Right. Right. Yeah, absolutely. So as I said, the organizations are looking for help.
Yeah.
They're looking for guidance from the FDA for how they should approach this.
Are most, in your experience, most companies that are bringing medical devices, are they already doing most of this stuff, or is some of this stuff going to be new to medical device makers, the stuff that's in the 2900-2-1?
Yeah, for most of the organizations that we see, it's a process, and it's not one that happens overnight. It takes time to incorporate new ways of thinking, add new processes, and understand new tools, because there are some very specific tools and technologies for security testing
like
that
fuzzing,
are
that
different,
type of thing.
Like fuzzing.
Right.
Exactly. It's definitely a process, and it tends to be one or two people in a specific role will kind of pick it up and become the champion, and slowly word spreads out from there. So each organization's on-ramp is going to be slightly different depending on who that champion is. But in general, it takes a period of years for organizations to truly internalize this, understand it, and start to get good at it.
Okay, so what about the tens of thousands of medical devices that are already out there with their FDA certification being sold into hospitals and doctor's offices and so on?
What about
the legacy problem?
Yes, the legacy problem of medical devices is huge. And that's something where, you know, the FDA is putting out guidance around risk management for new devices coming in that, you know, manufacturers will have to satisfy that. But for these older ones, as you said, that have already been approved, they're out there in the environment. The environment has changed around them, and all of a sudden, there's a lot more risk out there than 10 or 15 years ago when things weren't all connected to the internet. So one of the shifts with the FDA is focused around risk management and kind of bringing to manufacturers the concept of doing recurring risk management. And so you don't do a risk analysis and set it on the shelf and let it sit for 15 years and never look at it. You want to be going back to that risk analysis, understanding when the environment has changed and caused something to change in how you understood your security risk posture to be. That's one thing that applies to the legacy problem, but these devices are designed for, you know, decades of use, and some of them are very expensive. You look at the imaging machines, those aren't something that get replaced quickly. So the legacy problem is going to be with us for a long time. One of the messages that needs to get out is there's a shared responsibility between the manufacturer as well as the provider, you know, the healthcare delivery organization. So whoever's deploying that device has a certain responsibility to provide some security around it as well. But the medical device manufacturer needs to own that. Also, as organizations start to use devices in new ways, they need to recognize that, and they need to be looking to how to update these, how to solve that problem, and they need to bring in security as an equal stakeholder.
So is that something that Synopsys works with companies on, you know, not just new products, but also, hey, you know, there's a product we created in the late 90s, you know, it runs Windows 2000 and, you know, has firmware that...
Yeah, we'll work with the legacy problem, because any legacy problem that's going to change is actually going to require a new project, new development, and new release, and possibly, you know, new FDA approval.
Right.
So through the normal course of getting an update out into the field, they're going to do all of the engineering things that we can help them with.
Right. So I guess one message is that the 2900 2-1 standards, these are good but not comprehensive. There are things that you need to be doing above and beyond what might be prescribed in that standard.
Yeah, so one of the limitations with the standard, as with most standards, is they can provide high-level guidance, but they can't tell an organization when enough is enough. So any organization that's going to do UL 2900 or AMI TIR 57, any of the security risk management standards, they're going to have to come to grips with the fact that there will be latent risk in the products that they put out, and they need to establish processes, establish communication and understanding around what that means. So they're going to have to think about the risk. They're going to have to acknowledge that it exists, and they're going to have to work to reduce it to an acceptable level. But they can't go overboard, because you'll never be able to eliminate it completely. You know, a perfectly secure system would be encased in concrete at the bottom of the ocean and nobody would be using it. So there's no benefit there. So they have to balance it with, you know, the real world, in terms of these have to be accessible to some degree to be useful to us as a society.
We've got listeners, which I'm sure we do, who are working either in the medical device space or just the connected device, you know, working for a company making some kind of connected smart product. What are some best practices that you, and by extension Synopsys, prescribe, recommend?
Yeah, so looking for help in the standards area, the risk management area, that would be the first step. There's resources out there to help you. And same with new technologies. If you're going to bring in a new technology, use standards. So for example, we'll see organizations bring in technologies like Bluetooth or Bluetooth Low Energy, and they may not be aware that there's NIST guidance out there for how to implement things in a secure fashion, and it'll cover different technical constraints around the pairing modes, etc. So looking for help that's already been published and available is a no-brainer. You absolutely want to do that. And then when you're building these things, you want to think about it from a perspective of, if it's easy to debug for the engineers, it's probably going to be easy for an attacker to reverse engineer and figure it out. And that may or may not present a problem. So for example, if they can reverse engineer one device, but they break it and that device can't be used again, and they don't find anything that lets them scale an attack to an entire system or all the devices in a system, then that's one level of risk, which is much more acceptable than if they can reverse engineer it, find a shared secret key that everything in the system is using, and now they can own any device because they have the super secret key. And nobody thought anyone would ever find it or ever guess it, because it's a really long, obscure password or something.
You know, risk assessment is a huge part of, you know, securing your product, right? Just understanding what the risks are, who, if there are adversaries, who they are, you know, if there are use cases that present risks, what those are. How should medical device makers be assessing their risks, given that, you know, you come to a show like Black Hat every year and there are a couple new presentations targeting medical devices. I guess maybe part of it is you should probably be sending someone to Black Hat, right?
Yeah, absolutely. if you don't understand how folks attack systems and you don't understand the security side of your device, you can't secure it.
Mm-hmm.
So absolutely, you need to be aware of the environment, understanding what's going on. But at the same time, one of the things we see is people getting distracted by the newest, latest, greatest attack. And so they may want to go focus on something which is really, really hard and really, really difficult for someone to do, yet they're going to use a shared key. And so they forget to focus on the basics. If you look at IoT and Internet of Things, there's a lot of top 10 lists out there, very common things, shared keys that let you, you know, do whatever you want within the system.
Unsigned firmware, right?
Unsigned firmware. Right. No way to update things.
Default credentials.
Yeah, default, right? Credentials, exactly. Right. If you focus on the basics and then start to branch out from there, you'll be in a much better position than if you start to chase the latest, greatest attack.
I think we need an OWASP top 10 for the Internet of Things.
There's a lot of people that would like that, I think. There probably already
is. I think the OWASP top 10 is the OWASP top 10 for the Internet.
I think there actually already is an embedded top 10.
Top 10. Dan Lyon of Synopsys, thank you so much for coming in and talking to us on the Security Ledger podcast.
Thank you very much, Paul.
Yeah, it was a pleasure.
You've been listening to a Spotlight conversation with Dan Lyon, principal researcher at Synopsys. This Spotlight podcast has been sponsored by Synopsys. Synopsys is the Silicon to software partner for innovative companies developing the electronic products and software applications we rely on every day. Whether you're a system-on-chip designer creating advanced semiconductors or a software developer writing applications that require the highest security and quality, Synopsys has the solutions needed to deliver innovative, high-quality, secure products. Check them out at synopsys.com.